KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
What would you do if war came to your home and you were forced to escape? What challenges would you encounter on your journey? And what belongings would you take? How would you start a new life when what you thought of as home no longer existed? Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, is an organization founded in 1971 and dedicated to bringing medical aid wherever it is most needed, independently, neutrally, and ethically. The nonprofit will be traveling through Portland with a free outdoor exhibition on the global refugee crisis, Pioneer Courthouse Square, titled Forced from Home. Through this project, Doctors Without Borders seeks to expose the realities of the crisis. With an experienced aid worker as a guide, visitors will be able to navigate 10,000 square feet of space that reenacts the route of a displaced person from Afghanistan, Burundi, Honduras, South Sudan, or Syria. We have in the studio with us Leah Battersby, MSF logistician, pardon me, word's kind of hard, who has completed 4 missions with Doctors Without Borders, including 2 emergency missions, and Ebum, emergency medical doctor who has more than 4 years of experience with Doctors Without Borders in Nigeria. Welcome.
Leah and Ebum, welcome to KBOO. Where has your service with Doctors Without Borders taken you? Why don't you start, Ebba?
Oh, well, it's in the meantime, I work in Nigeria and West Africa as well as an emergency medical doctor responding to outbreaks and other issues within the country. So this is what I've been up to so far.
How about you, Leah?
I've worked in Myanmar, Tajikistan, Sierra Leone, and last I was in Tanzania, Western Tanzania.
And what different challenges did each place hold?
Go ahead, Ebom.
Oh, well, for me, it's mostly been a local response. My experience has mostly been a local response. But there's been a lot going on, that said, having worked through different projects, you know, responding to different outbreaks like measles, meningitis, cholera, and also having to deal with lots of malnourished children, you know, as a result of insurgency in the Northeast currently. So it's been quite challenging, to say the least, but again, it's been reassuring, having to be part of the response MSF puts together. So it's generally been reassuring.
And I guess working in so many different locales, you face different things. I'm a logistician, so I'm more looking at the supply. I support the medical teams, whatever they need. So in Myanmar, we had all our transport was by boat. So our warehouse was a boat. Our medical teams went out on the long-tail boat. So that was quite interesting. And then in Sierra Leone, it was Ebola. So we had the biohazard. And then last, I was construction manager. And so just, you know, using the local resources and adjusting to them.
Leah, you said you were in Myanmar. Did you deal with the Rohingya people?
No, I actually was there in 2008 after Cyclone Nargis, so we were doing emergency response.
Right. And Ebom, I wanted to ask you, Nigeria is a big country, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you're in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Is that the part where there are both Muslim and Christian people in conflict?
Yeah, that's the part. Like, generally in the North, you have a predominantly Muslim population, okay? And then there's still... Yeah, some Christians there as well. But yeah, there's usually occasional crisis, yeah, between the Muslims and the Christians.
That's correct. How do you guys function when you're in some conflict like that where you're dealing with two different people of two different religions and beliefs, and they're clashing with each other? How do you get out of the middle of that?
Well, very recently, that has not been the case in our responses so far. Most of the crisis we've had has not been linked with religion. It's more about insurgency. So that's what we've had to deal with, like, lately.
Who are the insurgents?
Well, like the Boko Haram sect.
Boko Haram.
That's right.
And what was your initial calling to this? I know in the United States you think being a doctor, you'll make a lot of money, and that, like, what called you to go out to that field, to Doctors Without Borders?
Well, for me, I hadn't heard of it. I'm actually from Canada, in the Yukon Territory, and I was working with a French-Canadian colleague, and he told me about Médecins Sans Frontières, and I love to travel, and I've always wanted to work in the humanitarian sector, and I didn't think it'd be possible for a carpenter from the Yukon, so I was pretty excited when I applied and saw I qualified, and then I was accepted.
Yeah. You're a carpenter?
Yes, I'm actually a certified carpenter and a certified sheet metal mechanic, or HVAC tech.
A woman of many skills. And do you have to be bilingual to work for Doctors Without Borders?
No. I'm working on my French, un peu. It's very small, but no. Although if you have a second language or a third or a fourth, it's... You have way more options, and you can work in many places.
When Leah said that, she pointed to Ibam. How many languages do you speak, Ibam?
Well, yeah, but just to disappoint you, I don't speak any other international language. But locally, yeah, I speak about three different languages, locally speaking. Right.
So he speaks four languages.
Okay. Well, you guys are here to talk about some kind of exhibit. It sounds fascinating. It's called Forced from Home. Is that right?
Yes.
Did you build that, or what's it like? What's Forced from Home? What does that mean?
Well, I get to build the dome. The second station, the first one's an introduction. The second station is a 360 dome. So they have it basically as a video that's over head height, and you can see all around you and what it's like to be in these different contexts. So they have refugees and they have field workers talking about the different
places. Wait a minute. This is a room you go into, right?
Yeah, so it's actually a dome we made out of aluminum pieces, and then we have these big panels. So you walk inside it, it's dark, and then we turn on the video, and it's a very amazing video. It gives you a really good idea of what it's like to be there.
Where is this exhibit?
At Pioneer Square.
Pioneer Square.
Yeah, but just to add a bit to what she said, it's not just a dome, right? It's one of the stations, yeah?
So
she's a carpenter. She thinks about domes.
That's what I set up. So, yeah.
So it's an outdoor exhibition that takes you through different stations.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And it's free, okay? So, we just speak about everything that goes on in camps, all right? And then we speak about the situations refugees exposed to. You know, we use each of the stations to emphasize certain points. They're just generally speaking about their general situations, using one station at a time to emphasize the problems that go through.
What do you mean by stations? I don't quite get that.
So each guide actually takes a group through. So you have different spots that you stop. Say from my dome, you go to one called Push Factors. So for the exhibit, the people, someone going in it is actually a displaced person. So you're given a card and you're identified either a migrant, asylum seeker, refugee. And then you go through the stations. And the idea is Push Factors is, why did you leave your home? Because people, you know, you have businesses, like in Syria, most people, they're middle class, well-educated, living normal lives, or you're a farmer, just carrying along, and then what makes you leave? So we go through the different things, and then there's another section about how people travel.
Yeah, and then there's another station where we talk about what happens when you make it to your temporary abode, like to the borders. You know, you want to know what your legal status is at the point of arrival. And then we also proceed to another station where we talk about basic needs. You know, like at some point you have to take cards, you know, when you flee from whatever push factors there. So we would check again at some point with you. I know the items you left with, you fled with, are supposed to be items you should embark on the journey with, you know, but you would lose them, you know, at different points in the flow, all right? And then when we get to the basic needs stations, we talk about what you would need to proceed again with.
Well, I'm beginning to understand. It sounds like a very interactive kind of experience, right?
It's right there in
Pioneer Square. And our listeners could go to Pioneer Square and get into a line and Do they have to pay to get in?
No, you do not.
You don't have to pay. And it's meant to educate them about the experience of the people that you're dealing with in places where you work.
That's right.
From these different issues of losing your property or getting lost or crossing a border, things like that.
That's right.
Are you two there to talk with the people? Or?
Yes, both of us are guides. All of the tour guides are field workers, so they've worked in these contexts, in refugee camps. They've worked with displaced people.
And how many people are currently displaced worldwide?
There's
over 65 million people displaced at present. That's a huge number.
Yeah, how many Los Angeleses are there, do you think, Tom?
That's about 10. Or
10 LAs. Okay.
You said 65 million people.
That's right. Well, over 65.
Wow.
Million,
yeah. Wow. I just want to get back to the exhibit for a second. Well, it's the dome. That sounds fascinating. And you built it, right?
Well, I put it together, yes.
You put it together. Yeah. What is it? What's it like?
Well, it's an enclosed space. It's basically built out of aluminum. It's like a geodome.
Yeah.
Then we have the panels on the inside. And then we have basically a nice tarp that says MSF on the outside. But what it is it's really about the videos. They've shot the video in a way that you can see everything around you. So when you walk into Nduta camp, you see the trees, you see the canvas tents people live in, and it's life size. So I think it's the best way actually to understand what it looks like without being there.
Cool. It's a 360-degree video experience then.
Exactly.
And is it a simulation of one place or is it a conglomeration of places?
It's all the places, so the five countries
that
we're talking about, yes.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Is your primary purpose to educate people or to raise money or both or what?
It's to raise awareness.
Raise awareness.
Yeah. So we do talk about MSF and the work we do. So we have two tents about medical issues that displaced people face and what kind of responses we do. But our focus, because one of our principles in MSF is bearing witness, and so our focus is to raise awareness on the refugee crisis. Of course, people are welcome to donate, but at the end, we encourage to support organizations that are working with refugees, not just MSF.
And have you all done this in any other cities?
I was just in Seattle.
Yeah, I was in Seattle as well, but we had done it elsewhere, Boulder, and
we were in
Salt Lake as well.
How was the turnout there? And
good. Yeah, and the weather was pretty poor apparently in Salt Lake, and we had over 800 people on Sunday, I think.
Yeah. What kind of people would you want to have come ideally? I mean, like everybody, but to kind of educate the American public with this, you know?
Well, MSF, we welcome everybody, work with everybody. I think anyone who's interested, and especially people who maybe have concerns, questions, we don't want just people who are, you know, agree completely with us, because the idea is we want to share what we've seen out in the field, and definitely if people have questions at the end, because it's quite fast, we have 6 minutes in each station, we have a spot where you chat with your guides, you can talk about things. Ask questions.
Ebem, you said you're in the area where you work is the place where Boko Haram occupies. Is that right?
Yes.
They're the ones who kidnapped all those young girls, right?
Yes.
Has that been resolved?
Well, that's something that's still ongoing. You know, it's not something I'd conveniently speak about because it's more political than related to the issues we address. So as MSF, we're more concerned with the humanitarian response as a result of the displacement of the population.
Right. I'm sorry, I get off on these tangents, but that's a story that fascinates me, and I wonder what it's like to work in a place where these people can come in and wreak havoc with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's not working in this context doesn't come without this risk. You know, this is what we do as MSF, you know, working, getting to places where other people can't get to.
And you're an emergency medical doctor. You must be on the front lines of care then.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Well, We're a logistician and an emergency medical doctor. Do you guys work together at all when you're back in the field, or you're coming together for this project?
Well, we just met in this project, but it's very likely we will work together in the future.
Good.
And actually, from my team in Nduta Refugee Camp, where I was in Western Tanzania, we're going to have Sachin. He was a medical team leader. Colleen, who was a medical doctor, emergency doctor also. And then my logistical team leader is going to be in Oakland. She is awesome. She's from Alaska.
Where's your next assignment, Leah?
It sounds like I'm going to Syria. They're rebuilding a 400-bed hospital, so I'm probably going to leave in November.
And Ebom, you're going back to Nigeria?
Yeah, I'm going back to Nigeria to wrap up a cholera intervention.
Wow, that sounds amazing. We could talk to you so much more. But we do have to wrap up. And just for our public, so that people can attend this, could you tell us one more time where it's at, when it's at, and how you get to do it?
So it's Force from Home. It's an exhibit in Pioneer Square. It starts on Monday and goes through Sunday.
And you can just show up anytime during the day?
Eight to six, typically.
Yeah.
To six.
And we have so many guides that every 8 minutes we're there to put on a tour. So please come. We're here. We're happy to share what we.
And it's free. No entry.
No.
You'll get to meet Liam and Abram.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah, if you're lucky. You definitely will see it.
All of the guides are good, though.
Great to have you with us today. We hope you get the wonderful attendance. I think you will. People will be interested in this. This is so exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for
you both.
Us.